If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there's not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as chosen, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God. Let's pray. Lord, these words are so true. As we consider all that you are to us. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd make these words come alive to us this morning as we look at this scripture. Lord, may you become bigger in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. This morning, as I said, we're in this series called New, and it's all about, we talked about 3 weeks ago, new perspective. That was 2 weeks ago. Drew talked about a new perspective in the gospel. Last week, we talked about this new hope that we have, the hope that passes the death test, that even after the grave, that's where our hope is actually realized and begins. That was Easter, that he has risen. And this morning is about our new identity. He begins, he says, if you have been raised with Christ, if Jesus has made you alive, if you have responded to the Easter message and Easter is no longer a thing you do, but a person you love, it's like it's in you. The resurrection life of Jesus is in you because you have acknowledged your sin. You have repented of your sin. You have trusted Jesus and his death and his resurrection on the cross. If that message is alive in you, then here's what you need to do. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we are to seek the things above. We are to set our minds on things above. Why is Paul so consumed with helping us fix our minds on heavenly things? Why? He says this throughout most of his writings. Reckon yourselves, consider yourselves dead to sin. Whatever is pure, lovely, noble, admirable, think about such things. Fill your minds, set your minds, fix your minds. Why all of these appeals to our minds? For you have died. This is a past reality. You have died. It's in your past. And your life is hidden. That's present. The present reality of your life is that it is hidden with Christ in God, verse 4. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, that has not yet happened, that's in the future, what? You will appear with him in glory. That's a future reality. So if your past is gone and your present is hidden in Christ and your future is glory, being glorified in Jesus, being transformed into his likeness, What does that mean? That leads us to this big idea, and it's simply this. Being a Christian is not what you do. It is who you are. Okay, basically, I'm going to spend about the next 25 minutes saying that statement in about 1,000 different ways. That's what we're talking about this morning. Being a Christian is not what you do. It is who you are. It is the most real thing about you. It's your identity. So if someone asks you, hey, what's your identity? First thing you might say is your name. I'm Mark. What else? I'm married to Letha. I have 6 kids. I work at Veritas. I start listing some things about me. But the reality of our new identity, it's like, hey, what's your identity? Tell me about yourself. I'm alive in Christ. Oh yeah, my name's Mark. And there's some other things about me, but like that is it. There's no prefix to Christian. There's no like, I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a Christian. It's just who I am, that I'm alive in Christ. So here's the problem. And now we get to our prop. Because that's all well and good to say that, but here's what we do. What we do is we compartmentalize our lives. I'm just going to turn this into, this is going to be, we'll call this me, all right? And what we do is we segment our lives into these categories, okay? Now, the most important category, top left, of course, is God. Okay, we know that God should be the most important thing in our lives, right? What should be second? Your hobbies. No, your family, okay? Your family should be number 2, we say, okay? Now, your family, and we'll also, you could put your friends in there, people matter. Okay, over here, okay, this is like me. Let's not invade that. We have our career, okay? That's pretty important. Okay, our career. Let's see, what are some other things that we are true about us? Our health, okay, that's like our looks, how we look, or our sleep, what we eat. So are things connected to our health? Put that in here. And then we've got, what else do we got? We got to have, well, this would be for girls. Girls just got to have fun, okay? Sorry for the 80s reference. And guys too, okay. Fun, that's our hobbies, things we like to do for fun, listening to music, all that stuff. And, you know, that last quarter category, we don't know what to call it, so let's just call that last category stuff. And things, okay? We all know what stuff and things are, right? Sorry, this is a little shaky, hard to write. Okay, stuff and things. Stuff is like your house, your car. Things are like your iPhone and your little gadgets and all that stuff. Okay, this is like our life. We say, who are you? Well, you know, I'm a Christian. And, you know, my family is important, husband, father. I've got, you know, I'm from this place. I'm a pastor. It's what I do. Eat healthy because I'm married to Letha and she loves organic food and stuff. I play basketball for exercise. Fun, that's love, enjoy sports, gonna go home and watch the Masters. Stuff, things, now I live in a house, what car I drive, all those things. And that stuff's not important to me. Like, and so we shift these around. And so we talk about our lives in terms of having balance. I need to organize my life in such a way that I will have a balanced life. And of course, having God first is the most essential thing in having a balanced life, right? Here's the problem. Paul says, when Christ, who is is your life appears. It doesn't say Christ, who is a big part of your life. Christ, the number one priority in your life. Here it is. The first point. Jesus doesn't want to be a priority in your life. He is your life. The scripture says, you shall have no other gods before me. He's not saying, you can have six gods as long as I'm the first one. I just don't want any of other gods before me. And what happens is, here it is, Jesus wants to be our life. So red spray paint, here we go. Jesus Christ, this is what Paul's saying. Christ is our life. That's the reality. This is our identity. And everything flows out of the new person that we are. If anyone is in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come. And all of this is from God, he says. Jesus Christ, he defines our life. And he is at the core of who we are. And so that everything that we do comes out of that. How do you like the smell of that, those of you? Is it getting out there? Okay, sorry about that. Christ, who is your life? Now, here's what happens. When Christ is not your life, something else is. And when Jesus Christ is a priority in our lives, he's one aspect of who I am, but all of these other things also define who I am. Okay? They all sort of form, they come together to form my identity. But at the core, it's Jesus. Now, the third problem is this is, when you're defined by these other things, you're crushed when they're taken away. Or you're crushed at the thought of them getting taken away. My life, and all of a sudden I lose my health, part of me is crushed. I can't be complete without my health. Or, let's just go through and we'll go from the easiest things to lose, okay? I lose my car, big deal. I lose my phone, big deal. I lose my house, no, big deal, right? I can kind of move on from my stuff and things. I lose my fun. I'm grumpy, but I'm still okay, all right? I lose my health. This is when it starts to hurt. I lose my career. I walk into Veritas Church and I'm no longer the lead pastor of Veritas and nobody needs me. Or the church is not growing anymore. And my worth becomes linked to how successful I am in what I do. And there will come a day when this goes away. I'm gonna get old. I'm gonna retire. Next person's gonna come in. They're gonna be more gifted. They're gonna do a better job. And how's that gonna make me feel? Family. My kids. What if we can't have kids? Will my life be crushed? When this one goes away, when I can't have a kid or I lose one of my children? Or I'm a mom or a dad and my kids leave the house and they no longer need me to father them or mother them. Or my kids decide to walk away from Jesus. And I can no longer say, I have worth because I'm a successful father. I'm a pastor. And part of qualifying for being a pastor is that my children walk with Jesus, and they don't. or I lose my friends. God, I'm not serving him enough. I'm not doing enough good for the kingdom. I'm lazy when it comes to prayer and reading the Bible. And if you open my prayer journal, it's, well, empty. And so what happens is we're not performing, and so we feel guilty or we feel disappointed or we just feel empty. Brothers and sisters, set your minds on things above. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also then will appear with him in glory. Christian, you are raised with Christ. Don't live a defeated, discouraged life. Your past is gone. The old person is gone. You don't need to feel guilty about the wrongs you have done or even the wrongs done to you. Your present right now, it's a gift. Right now is a gift from God. And your future, it's secure. So don't walk around with your eyes 1 foot from the ground, just in this attitude of despair and disappointment. Look up, Paul's saying, look up, lift your eyes to Jesus. It would be like if you could have a conversation, you're looking out, you go to visit this farm, and this farmer says, you'll never believe this, dude. This eagle, like, landed and is hanging out with the chickens. You gotta come see this. So you go over, and you see all these chickens, and you see this bald eagle pecking around for worms and seeds. And so you've watched enough Disney to know that animals talk, right? And so you go over to the eagle and you say, bro, what are you doing? And you know what? Why are you pecking around for seeds and worms like a chicken? Why aren't you flying? And he says, chickens don't fly. And you say, I know, you're not a chicken. And he says, yeah, I am. And you say, no, like that sharp beak and those talons and that 6 foot wingspan, you were meant to fly and hunt, not peck around with your head. Your eyes were meant to see for miles. And you're looking 1 inch from the ground for worms and seeds. And what I want to say to you this morning, Christian, look up. You are not a chicken. Stop wallowing around with guilt and anxiety and fear and disappointment. You were made to fly. You were made new in Christ. That is who you are. Well, I have a question. How do we do that? What's that look like? And at the risk of making this sound like a self-help sermon, which Christianity certainly is not self-help, okay, this idea of being new in Christ, that's the only thing you need to know. And when you know that, and when you believe that, guess what? Everything else will flow out of it. Good works, love, freedom. It flows from the core of that identity in Christ. So how do you do this? 4 things. Number one, get baptized. Where do I get that from? If you look at the context of Colossians and you go back to chapter 2, verse 12, he says, you've been filled with Jesus. You've put off this body flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And of course, I leave all circumcision conversations to Drew and to other people to talk about. And he says, having been buried with him in baptism. Have you been baptized? We're doing baptisms on May 10th. We're going to have one huge service over in our other room. And we're going to gather and we're going to dunk a bunch of people. And you know what baptism is? It's an outward symbol of that inward reality. And isn't it cool that Jesus gave us that? It's like a wedding ring. I can look at that and remember that I'm married. Like, it doesn't make me not married when I take it off, which I can't. But it's a reminder of who I am. Okay, I'm married, and baptism is sort of that. I look back and I can remember when I was baptized. It's a symbol, okay? That picture of my life was dunked. It was immersed through baptism into death, and I was raised up to walk in a new life. I'm now identified with Christ. I have this inseparable union with Jesus, and nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God. That's the symbol of baptism, raised with Christ. Number two, how do you do this? Run every thought through your new identity filter. Guess what? Paul's saying, set your minds, think about. He says it this way, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Set your minds. These ideas of seek and set, In the original language, it's the idea that you're going to have to persevere in this. This is not something that just comes naturally. This is something you have to do. I mean, it's not a thing you do. It's who you are. So this requires exertion of energy and thought. It's like, set your mind on who you are. Remember. And then in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're going to be bombarded with messages all over saying, every commercial you watch today is going to say, your health, that's what matters. Being a good mom, that's what matters. There's a whole marketing campaign that targets young moms. My friend calls it the mother fear industry, right? By playing off your fear as a mom for all the bad things that could happen to your kids if they don't eat this organic food and this, you know, if they don't have this special safe toy, they can't be happy, and how could you ever let your kids run around and play in the dirt, right? Use this natural lawn fertilizer. It's whatever, in playing off, and there may be some truth to all those things, right? But they play off our fear, and they sell us stuff because this is ultimately what matters the most. Your career. And, you know, being successful, having a lot of stuff, having nice things, being able to pull out the newest iPhone, having a car that doesn't have rust, and all the windows roll up and down without you having to roll them, right? All of these things begin to define us because it's what we hear. It's the air we breathe. It's the water we drink. So I took a bunch of high schoolers when I was a youth pastor to Panama. And I took them into the jungle to this village called Piriati. And it was in the Dadian jungle, and we're hanging out with these people who just, you know, 40 years ago were wearing loincloths and no shirts, nothing. And we were doing a medical clinic there, and guess what we learned? Guess what I learned? Like 80% of the people are sick, constantly, chronically sick. You know why they're sick? Because they have parasites. Worms. And when they eat food, guess who gets all the good nutrients? The worms. And the parasites begin to take over. And so a lot of the kids always are sick with colds. And you know why they have parasites? Because they drink water straight from the river. Their water is unfiltered. And they just consume it because they're thirsty. And guess what? They're sick because of it. And what Paul's saying is, don't drink the water, or drink the water through the filter. And then all of these things can truly matter. Like, I'm free to enjoy the masters because it doesn't define me. I'm free to enjoy my stuff. I'm free to pursue this career. Go through the list. None of those things define me. So now I'm truly free because I'm filtering this. I'm not going to be anxious about losing any of these things because I know the truth of God. And this is going to require reading and memorizing this book. This is the filter. And you run your thoughts through this sanitation system. And you drink often, and you drink deeply of the Word of God. And you read it daily, and you memorize it weekly. Let the Word of Christ just dwell in you richly. Don't fill your mind with the lies and trash and junk, the dirty water of the world. What we consume influences how we think, and how we think determines how we live. So he says, set your minds on things above. And look what he says, verse 16. This leads to the third point here. He says, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. The third point is, remind each other. You know what you need? You need someone in your life that reminds you, you're not a chicken. You're an eagle. You're a Christian. And you know what that means? You are loved. And notice, like, teaching is not fixing. Teaching is, it might require some listening. And you want to ask some questions and you want to explore. Like, where are you finding your worth? And as you begin to ask questions, Proverbs 4 says, the motives of a man's heart are like a deep well, but the person of understanding is able to draw them out. And so you begin to draw them out, and you can find those places where you can say, you are not loved because of your success in preaching. It was a good sermon, I feel good. Bad sermon, I feel bad. You're not tied, your worth is not tied to you as a father, or you as a mother, or you as a husband, or you as a wife, or you as a successful fill in the blank. We need someone to remind us. I want you to imagine it, picture it in this way. Okay, say you're a school teacher you're a fifth grade school teacher in 1976 in rural England. And you're teaching, and a new student walks in. This little blonde haired girl. Her name is Joanne. And little Joanne sits there. And you notice her crying during reading time. Everyone's got their books open. And you know why she's crying? Because she doesn't know how to read. And she has dyslexia. And the principal calls you in and says, hey, I want to show you something. And they pop in this video. And this video, you're a teacher and you're watching this video and you're saying, who is this person? Wait, that looks like Joanne. And the principal says, yeah, that's Joanne, also known as J.K. Rowling. Her fantasy series is going to sell over 400 million copies. She's going to be one of the most famous writers in the history of the world. You go back and you tell her who she is. And so you go back into the room and you say, Joanne, you'll never believe this. You're going to be one of the most famous writers ever. And she says, I can't read. I'm not worth anything. I'm no good. And you say, oh yes, this is your destiny. He says, Paul motivates us by future glory. He says, it's done. This is who you are. It's gonna happen. You will be glorified with Jesus. That's how you motivate someone. You see LeBron James as a frumpy 12-year-old sitting eating Doritos. Saying, oh, I'm no good at basketball. And what do? You pop in the DVD player in his Xbox. You take out that game and you put in his highlights and you say, this is who you are. Stop living a defeated life. Because this is who you are. It's exactly what Paul is doing for us. He's saying, lift up your head. Set your minds on who you are in Christ. So here's the danger. Here's the danger. You know what some Christians do in response to this message? They just say, well, I guess since this is the only thing that matters, none of these other things matter at all. And in fact, and so the philosophers kind of picked up on this. Socrates came along and he said, you know what? What defines you is not material things, it's the state of your soul. And so the cynics picked up on this, the Stoics, and then out of Stoicism came cynicism. This is not the temperament, but the philosophy, okay? Some of you are cynical. It's like, I might be a cynic. No. What the cynics taught was, the way to be truly free is to get rid of all these things. Because then, guess what's left? The only thing that's left is me. And so I can't be defined by possessions that I don't have. I can't be defined by a career I don't have. Or by a car. Or a wife that I don't have. Or a husband that I don't have. So I'm just going to get rid of everything. And then I will discover my true self. And so Diogenes, one of the cynics, came along, and people were fascinated by him. He was the first homeless philosopher. He was a very quick-witted guy, and so what he would do is he would go around, and someone found him in Athens begging for food from a statue. And they said, what are you doing? He's like, I'm learning to deal with rejection. I want to be truly free. I don't want to be slave to people's opinions. So he got rid of everything and just became homeless. People were fascinated by Diogenes. In fact, he lived during the time of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great wanted to meet him. And he looked all over for him. And finally, he found Diogenes in Corinth. And guess where he was? He was in the gym. It was an outdoor gym. He was laying out in the sun. Alexander the Great comes with all his pomp and pride and prestige, the most powerful man in the universe, maybe in the history of the universe. Alexander the Great walks up to Diogenes and he stands over him and he says, I am Alexander the Great. And the man doesn't even open his eyes. Diogenes says, I'm Diogenes, the cynic. Alexander the Great stands there and he says, what favor may I bestow upon you today? And Diogenes says, stand out of my light. Get out of my sun. Get out of my way. I don't care about you. And you know what Alexander the Great said? He said, if I could be anyone other than myself, I would pick him. Like, I want to be him, because isn't there something attractive when people just completely disregard other people's opinions and they're truly free? They're not a slave to what people think. Isn't that what we all want? We want that freedom. The question is, do we have to become homeless to get it? What is Paul going to tell us we should do to get this freedom, to live in this freedom. Listen to what he says, verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here it is, the last point. Wherever you are, be all there. Here's what I mean. Be present to your life. Find meaning in everything that you do throughout the day. Because it's not that none of these things matter, it's that all of them now matter, and all of them have true meaning. And now, I'm not grumpy because I'm single and I'm starting to get into my 20s and upper 20s and 30s. I'm like, I'm free. Like, I actually find meaning in my singleness. Or I don't have children and I find meaning in that. Or I've lost a child and I can find purpose even in that. I'm a mom and I'm at home all day with toddlers. And the biggest words I hear are from Dr. Seuss books. Be present with your child and read to them and find meaning in that. It's not that those things don't matter. Your career, it matters. Whatever you do, however important you think you are, well, if you're in Christ, what you do matters. No matter how unimportant you think what you do is, it matters. Work hard at the most menial tasks. Don't skip your Econ 101 class to read your Bible because you just, Econ doesn't matter. Like, learn that. Be present to your life. So, as we land here, here's the revised big idea. Being a Christian is not what you do because of what Jesus has done for you. If you don't know Christ this morning, your life is defined by all of these other things. And what are you going to do when those things are taken away? Who are you at the core of your being? Jesus Christ has given everything so that we could have a life. Apart from him, we are separated into a hopeless life, an eternity of hopelessness. And this morning, I want to encourage you to find yourself in Christ. And I just want to ask the question, what if we live this way? What if this was true of us? You know what I think would be true? We're now free to love. We can walk out of here and truly love people. We are free. So this last week was Easter. I said it was a Super Bowl for pastors, and I can't explain this, but all day I was just living under this cloud of despair. And I don't know why. I went to bed that night just feeling discouraged. It had nothing to do with, I mean, attendance was great. The Sunday morning service was good. I was just disappointed. I was just down. I woke up at midnight, and I just laid awake for like 3 or 4 hours. Just like, what is up? Feeling like a failure, feeling discouraged. I woke up, was super tired, and then all of a sudden this lyric from a song just like hit me out of nowhere. And it was this lyric. It says, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look, I see him there. He made an end of all my sin. We're going to close in worship. Man, you guys can come on up. And what we're going to do is we're going to respond by proclaiming this truth to ourselves. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and mighty plea. Let's look upward and see who we are in Christ. Let's pray. If you would close your eyes with me and just have a moment here with the Lord. Just take a moment right now. Maybe there's something in your life that is causing you disappointment. Maybe a lot of times what happens when you look into your past, you feel guilt, maybe over something that you've done or something that you didn't do right. So maybe you're feeling guilt. Sometimes when you look at your present and it's like, my career, my job, it's just not fulfilling me. You feel emptiness. Or sometimes you look into the future and you feel anxious. You're afraid. Whether it's guilt or emptiness or fear, anxiety, would you just lift up your eyes with me this morning? Set our minds.